Welcome to the Day at Indy on the Marshall Pruitt Podcast, presented by Cooper Tires and supported this month by our friends at Bell Racing Helmets USA. Speaking of friends, I have my man Piers Phillips, general manager of Schmidt Peterson Motorsports. Piers, knowing that you have a four-car team, spread across with the, call them three in-house entries, with your technical alliance with Meyer Shank Racing, extending that out to four.
Yep.
Thought I might be real interesting to speak with you here at the end of Fast Friday.
Mm-hmm.
Get a feel for your thoughts on how your team is doing based on the no-tow reports, and then maybe some general feelings going into this wacky, we're going for the pole on Saturday, right? Well, no, we're actually going to kind of come back and do that for real on Sunday. So let's start off with how your group did today, in your opinion, because it seems like from Robbie Wickens to Hinch to Jay Howard to Jack Harvey, you kind of got the field covered in terms of no-tow numbers, my friend.
Yeah, coming at them from all angles. I think today was a productive day for us as a team. With Wiki, obviously I'm on Wiki's car, worked a lot with him today, did some various runs, did some trimming, etc. But all four cars basically had the same mindset and plan going into today. Obviously we were watching the weather because that was going to be a big variance. And I've got to say, there's a bit of head scratching tonight. There was two cars went out identically this morning and were, you know, completely different sort of levels of competition, which was a bit strange. I think it's you look up and down pit lane, everybody's done the same thing today. Everybody's been looking at it trimming and trying different things, and doesn't seem to be a big difference, if I'm perfectly honest. So I think looking at it today, going into tomorrow with the weather or the possible weather that maybe, you know, that may be heading our way over the next 2 days, I think it's going to be very interesting to see who pulls it out of the bag. You know, I think from where we sit, our guys are feverishly, you know, scurrying away in the engineering office, and a lot of head scratching going on, trying to figure out what's making one car tick and what's not necessarily making the other cars tick. So, yeah, it's been a challenging but interesting day.
I think with exception of Team Penske, which has had the majority of its cars right up front in the no-tow speed, and Ed Carpenter Racing as well, which has had most of its cars and, you know, similar at the sharp end. I haven't seen many teams, as you mentioned about your own, other than those two. I might be missing one other multi-car team, but I haven't seen many multi-car teams that can say all of ours are in a comfortable place. It seems that the average story has been, if you're running two or three cars, you might have one guy that's super happy, but someone else isn't. What might we put that down to, Piers?
Well, you know, we're looking at it, obviously, and I think you look at Penske, you look at Will. Will seems to be out on an island by himself as well, doesn't he? Which is great for them. I don't know. I mean, you look at the effort, you look at the work, you look at the detail that goes into the cars. You know, and I can speak from an SBM standpoint. I mean, we leave no stone unturned, as obviously pretty much all the teams do, you know.
Let's talk about those stones quickly, because we know that a lot of folks love the Indy 500, but hopefully my listeners are ones wanting to know a little bit more about what does that mean. So you don't just wheel any old car out to the track.
Absolutely.
Tell us about some of the things, whether it's bodywork fit, whether it's friction reduction. These individually, they might not make a massive difference, but you start lining those up one after the other.
Absolutely.
That's where you get a mile an hour too, right?
Absolutely.
But what are those things?
I mean, the big thing is obviously you're traveling around here at close to 230 miles an hour for 40 seconds. The big thing's aero, isn't it? You know, so we spend a huge amount of time on body fitting, getting all the panel gaps flush, getting them smooth, you know, making sure that the lines on the car are as neat and as smooth as possible. You know, that spills over into paint finish, it spills over into vinyl, it spills over into, you know, even looking at the depth, the thickness of the stickers, of the decals that go on the side for the sponsors. You know, it's every last little bit of aero tweak that we think we can get. You know, it could be polishes, it could be coatings on the floor of the car, it could be absolutely everything. So from an aerodynamic standpoint, it's huge, yeah? You then move into things like gearbox friction, oils, etc. You know, all those various, you know, various little bits and pieces that you think that are going to make a difference. You know, I'm sure SPM's no different from any of the other teams. You're looking at uprights, you're looking at bearings, you're looking at absolutely everything you possibly can, trying to make the car, you know, roll as freely as possible and therefore be as efficient and hopefully result in some speed.
So knowing that equal work goes into all of these cars, right? Worked with the Meyer Shank folks to prep theirs as well.
Absolutely.
So that you could say...
Great bunch of guys, by the way. Awesome bunch
Shank
of guys.
That Shank guy, he's a little shaky, but the rest of them I like.
Yeah.
All kidding aside, but you wanted to make sure that there was uniformity across all four cars.
Absolutely.
You will look at the data traces from the drivers. So, you know, if you see, again, I'm just picking names here. If you see a Jay Howard is flat out here doing a qualifying sim, and you see that Wiki is the same way, and yet there's whatever, let's say a mile an hour difference.
Yes.
What comes to mind for you, and do you think for some of your engineering staff on, do we find that? What is that mile an hour, and where do we get it?
The first thing is to not overreact.
Okay.
Right? I think you've got to look at everything in detail. You've got to look at, you know, how the guys drive this place is so critical. You know, you can turn in 2 feet early, 5 feet early, whatever, and it makes a difference to your rolling speed. So that's... You know, that's the first thing. You look at that. You look at the detail of the tyres, the pressures, the stagger on the tyres obviously makes a big difference. And you literally, you go through that process of elimination. You go through that detailed sort of structure of going through the data and trying to analyse and make sure that, first of all, are there any differences that, you know, that maybe don't spring to mind, first of all. And then, you know, you start and drill a little bit deeper after that. And, you know, going back to how I started the interview, we've had that today. You know, we've had two identical cars and, you know, looked at driving, looked at pressures, looked at stagger, etc., and ended up with a confused group at the end of it. You know, so you then get into things. You start and look at the body fit again. You say, has something moved? Is there something inside the car? You know, the airflow through the car is as critical as the airflow externally.
Absolutely.
Is the radiator blocking the same? Are the oil coolers blocked the same, et cetera, et cetera? And you set off down that path. But it's important to be able to stand back and look at it and not, you know, spin yourself into a cycle where you're not working properly. But I would think pretty much every team in the paddock this evening is doing that.
Piers, this month with the Marshall Pruitt podcast, supported by our friends at Bell Racing Helmets USA. Proven since 1954, Bell Helmets have been the choice of champions when it comes to state-of-the-art head protection. 19 of the 35 drivers entered in this year's Indy 500 wear a Bell. These are designed for professionals and amateur drivers. They are synonymous with safety, innovation, performance, and is italicized. Engineering excellence. To learn more about Bell Helmets, check out bellracing.com. So you're here with one of your fellow managers.
Mm-hmm.
From a leadership standpoint, what are you doing at this hour? I mean, here we are at, you know what, it's almost 7 p.m.
Yep.
on Friday night. Mm-hmm. What are you guys doing at this hour to help work with the team to get all four entries where you want, not just tomorrow, but as we get through Sunday speed-wise? Mm-hmm. How much of your team is already mobilized, working, from engineers to mechanics? Just curious, how much oversight is involved at this hour? How much of this machine's already working, whether you're there or not?
This machine was spinning in September last year.
and
Taylor Kyle, who's with me now, the team manager, Taylor's responsible for the guys on the shop floor and the workload and the flow and the planning from that side of things. And it's something that never stops. You know, people talk about the month of May and being at Indy, etc., and how intense it is. But this is pretty much just the end of the journey for the 500. You know, a lot of these teams were building cars in January, and, you know, as we talked about, doing body fits and getting prepped. And, you know, there's a lot of teams run extra cars, so you get extra guys in, so they've got to be, you know, sort of overseen, educated, pit stop practice, etc. There's a huge amount of work and effort goes into it. When you get here to the circuit, we really should just be executing, you know. But a lot of that was something that we've tried extremely hard this year at SPM to do is generate a culture, generate a belief, you know, generate that sort of organic passion that drives people to be the best. And that's that's a difficult thing to do. You know, when you've got a group of guys and girls as big as we have, I think we're now 45 strong, you know, full time, which the wage bill frightens you every every month.
I'm trying to think. I think there were 9 of us in 2001.
Possibly,
wow.
Yeah. We're 45 strong now,
wow.
Which I think shows testament, you know, to Sam and Rick and their belief and investment and where they want to take this thing. And, you know, if you're going to compete with the best, you've got to, you know, you've got to have the staff to do that. But it's about belief, it's about culture, it's about desire, it's about ethic, you know. And it's about wanting to win, you know. Anybody can turn up and put a car together, but to put a car together that's going to win or, you know, be at the sharp end of the grid, it takes a little bit of something special, but it is planning, you know. And it's I'm a great believer, as is Taylor and Sam, you know, you lead by example. You know, we're not the sort of team that, all right, our job's done, we're going home, you stay and you eat with the guys, and, you know, a bit of humor, a bit of music, you know, just a bit of encouragement. And you know what, some little things like a pat on the back every now and then go a long way with some of the guys and girls. So it's a very kind of fluid family, should I say, but it's something that, you know, it's very close to Taylor and I, about the personal side of the team to get the best out of people.
Wow. Let's go into a little bit of procedure and mm-hmm. how you and your team will handle things on Saturday and Sunday, and by inference we'll believe that most teams, you know, mm-hmm. successful teams will be looking or thinking the same way.
Yes.
So we're going to come back early tomorrow morning. I mean, we're 13 hours from being on track.
Yep.
8 a.m., 2 half-hour practice sessions, mm-hmm. right? They'll split that into 2 groups.
Yes.
So we saw some big lap speeds put up here today mm-hmm. in a tow. Wiki yes. came in for the end of day thing. He's like, I don't even belong here. Like, yeah. you know, I mean, right? Yeah. But you've got a half hour. You've got the field split. So, you know, 17 in one, 18 in the other.
Yes.
There's going to be a lot of people trying to see if the stuff they've stayed up all night trying to
yeah.
improve on the car worked.
Yeah. Yeah.
But you're probably going to have, in that half-hour span, all 17 thinking the same thing, wanting
yeah.
to go.
Yeah, yeah.
What's the challenge for you saying, well, crap, it's not going to work if we're in a tow? I mean, we need individual speed.
Yeah.
Can you? How much of that half-hour do you think for your drivers is going to be real value?
Well, that is a very, very good question. I think it's it was like today, you know, you talked about, I think, what did Robbie end up second today on a 2:31?
Yeah.
We were just out doing a normal run when out popped Page 3 or 4 seconds ahead of us. And you're like, oh, thanks, Simon. You know, and you end up where you are, you know, on the timesheet. So it's important because it's 2 things, aren't they? You can drive to a speed and you can drive to a balance. You know, my guys are getting out of the car saying balance is awesome. Where's the speed? You know, so we need to be. We've just got to be smart and try and pick some gaps, try and find some gaps more yeah. than anything else. And just there'll probably be 2 or 3 of us looking at the monitors on each pit stand, just trying to work out who's coming in, what they're doing, what lap times, et cetera, and try and pick that gap and get some relevant data ahead of going into qualifying. You know, temperature obviously plays a big part in it as well. You know, at that time in the morning, is the sun going to come out? Is it going to cloud over? Are we going to get rain like we've talked about? There's a plethora of sort of variables that we need to be on top of as a team.
What I'm hearing is no pressure or stress. Sorry, it's all going to be easy.
Well, you know, it's one of those things, I think, in my position, and having, you know, I know you and I have talked about this before, but, you know, been through Le Mans, Daytona, Sebring, all that sort of stuff. This is my 3rd Indianapolis 500. You've got to manage the event personally, mm. you know, but I think there's a lot of people come to an event of this size and get consumed by it. There is pressure, there is stress, but you don't show it, you know. And you've got to manage yourself. You've got to keep your own head level and your eyes wide open. And it's something that I think I've learned to do over the years quite nicely. If I'm honest, I'm quite, you know, I don't get myself that wound up anymore. But again, if you're at the top, nice air of calmness, nice air of professionalism. You know, we got this, boys, and it filters through the team.
Amen. I love that. Couple more things to dive through, Piers, before we let you get on to the real work. So after we're done with a couple of practice sessions in the morning, we're going to roll into a fairly long, wide-open stretch.
Yep.
Until 5:50. Mm-hmm. We're going to set the field of 33. Mm-hmm. 35 cars trying to make that field of 33.
Yeah.
Biggest thing I've heard so far this week, and I'm sure you've heard from your drivers as well, associated with what's going on tomorrow, is running in a pack.
Mm-hmm.
Really tough. Mm-hmm. If you want to be the lead 1 or 2 or 3 at most. If you're any further back, boy, yeah. you're going to be hating life.
Yeah,
it's a weird position of wanting to get your car better, to be faster, to have a shot at the fast nine tomorrow. But we also know that there might be more than in recent years a real penalty if you're not in that lead group.
Yeah.
How do you manage the expectations? Because now you've got four drivers all saying, fast nine, please.
Yeah, yeah. No, absolutely. Absolutely. I think, you know, that's a very good question. And I think you look at yesterday, I think if you look at a lot of the teams yesterday, and it, you know, the traditional thing of everybody doing a race run, but we've spent all week working towards race balance. You know, having been here and led, having been here and come from the back, etc., it's fairly obvious that, you know, we were joking about this morning. Say, well, if you're on pole, as soon as you start, you're going to want to drop back and save fuel type thing. So it's that double-edged sword, isn't it? But, no, it's, I think, I mean, what it'll all shake out in the wash, doesn't it? You know, I think we've got to do our work tonight and try and get all the cars up to the level of, you know, our quickest one, and maybe try and push them all even further forward from that standpoint. I think there's a little bit of concern that I think the Chevys have maybe just got a little bit over
there. That was one of the other questions I was going to ask. Again, if we're going off no toes, it looks like the bow tie's been busy.
It does, you know,
making
power. Credit to them. They've obviously come and done a good job. I think, you know, the guys from in Honda and HPD have been working extremely hard as well. So, you know, we're not out of it yet, you know. So we'll see. We'll see where we end up tomorrow.
So if we are looking at what is going to take place with setting that field of 33 tomorrow and then wiping the slate clean, coming back Sunday and setting the true order.
Yes.
Any thoughts on what you've learned this week about finding solo individual speed and comfort in, if you do find a need to have to, I don't know if I want to say go drastic, but if one car, for example, just can't seem to get to where you want it, mm-hmm. do you feel comfortable in knowing that you can explore some of these areas aero-wise, setup-wise, to maybe get them a little further up or get them safely in the show? Or has this new aero kit
It's thrown a bit of a curveball, if I'm honest.
Yeah, I don't know if that comfort there, and I'm not just talking to Schmidt, Peterson Motorsports. I think very few have that comfort.
Right throughout the pit lane, I would agree with that. I think there is a curveball, and I think there's a lot of people still trying to get their head around that. So it's funny, you know, because I think it's no secret. You look at some of the trim levels that some of the cars have run, and, you know, my guys have said the same thing. You know, we've trimmed out, you know, during the day. Everybody can see what everybody else is doing, and it's like, hey, there's no difference. You know, it's been weird. So to say we would be comfortable going in a direction, I would have said yes, because it seems quite benign aerodynamically. But it's something that hopefully we're not going to get to tomorrow.
Hopefully.
The big word, yeah.
So let's work off the assumption that all four of your cars are in the show.
Yes.
Transfer over to Sunday. Mm-hmm. How much work do you put in? How much risk do you take in sending, you know, if you get multiple shots, the time and availability is there, say weather complies. Are you of the mindset that we need to keep firing cars out to try and move up if we can? Or do you say if we're okay, then let's just
I think we've got to be sensible about it, you know. It's no secret that there are, you know, there's a huge schedule ahead of us. It's no secret that there's a lot of teams, including ourselves, are still struggling to build cars and have parts. And I think we have to look, you know, got to look at our first runs tomorrow, see where we are, and just be sensible about it, you know. You're not going to win it on Sunday, but you are going to lose it, you know. And that's something that we've got to be mindful of. Yes, we all want to be at the front, you know, myself, Taylor, the drivers, the team owners, the, you know, our corporate sponsors and partners. But I think we need to step back. And if we're at the limit where we don't think there's too much else to find and it's not going to move us drastically up that order, then I think we need to be sensible. We need to take not a conservative approach, but just a sensible approach.
Let's close on one of your favorite topics and what has become one of my favorite topics.
Right.
A certain Canadian who isn't the mayor of Hinchtown,
but
certainly the master of Warp Speed Wiki.
Never heard of him.
Let's talk about this kid who's a timing stand you've been on.
Yep.
What a revelation.
He's infectious. Yeah.
Tell me about what it's been like working with him, what influence he's had on the team, not leading up to Indy, I think everyone's seen Holy Cow. Mm-hmm. What's it been like this month? I would say, heck, even this week, his first real serious day after day of running at his first ever Indianapolis 500.
Yes.
What are you seeing from this kid where you're going, ooh, wow, this doesn't go away?
He's got a capacity. He's got a calmness. He's got a confidence about him, which is it's very refreshing for, you know. The word rookie keeps coming up, and we don't even think of him like that. He seems very at ease with what he's doing. I think, you know, we ran his rookie test in a manufacturer day a couple of weeks back, and I was amazed at how intricate his feedback was so early on.
He was telling me about how surprised he was about the bumps around the track.
Yes.
And I'm staring at him like, you're an alien.
Yeah.
I've never... Any other rookie I speak to after their first laps is telling me about some white-knuckle, wide-eyed thing. Yeah. And he's like, oh, I was surprised by the bumps. I'm going, you're not human.
No, not Robert. I mean, and one of the things that Robert's got that he's brought to the team is every now and then you come across a great driver that manages to spool the team up to 110% without them actually noticing, you know, and that's a trait of what I think is a world-class driver. I've been fortunate enough to work with other people like that in the past, but Robert's he's a class act, you know. He's extremely good technically. Yeah, his work ethic is amazing. He's a great guy to be around, and I know that when the guys, you know, buckle those belts in, strap them down, and the visor closes, we get 125% every time, you know. And I think you look at the effect it's had with Hinch. You know, Hinch has now got for the first time in a few years, has got a teammate that he likes, that he works with. You know, they share the same sort of engineering principles. You know, what works on Wiki's car works on Hinch's. What works on Hinch's goes to Wiki's. And we're in a very, very fortunate position from that. But it's a growth period for the team. You know, it's the first time that SPM have had two really competitive drivers that can get poles and can win races. All right, Robert hasn't won one yet. Maybe you should have. But and it's interesting because from where I stand, you see the team start to stretch. Yeah, and it's exciting, you know. But Robert's been phenomenal to work with. I think he's busting the engineers quite a lot, which is a good thing. You know, and it's the detail as well. But he brings a wealth of experience, not only from single-seaters, but as we know from DTM. And he's got that beautiful sort of global outlook on motorsport and that massive depth of experience to pull from and try and help us and educate us and push the whole program forward.
When you've got a brand-new driver competing in a brand-new discipline who can help elevate in his first season, that is a rarity right there.
It's awesome. It's wonderful. We're so fortunate. And, you know, big kudos to Sam and Rick for trying so hard and getting Robert into the car this year. It was a big gamble. It doesn't look like it now, does it?
But we knew all along.
You know, it was a step over the line. And sometimes you've got to do that. You know, if you don't step over, you don't find out. So we're very fortunate to have him on board. We're obviously incredibly lucky to still have Hinch with us, you know, and have Hinch, you know, performing from that side. And I think the future's looking really strong for SPM.
Amen. Pierce Phillips, thank you for joining us. The Day at Indy and the Marshall Pruitt podcast, presented by Cooper Tires, supported by Bell Racing Helmets USA, going into what I think is going to be the most pressure-packed weekend of qualifying, probably since, at least for me, I was here in 97, my first 500, when we had all kinds of problems and barely scraped in our final run. Mm-hmm. I know what pressure and feeling concerned like you're going home feels like, and I do not envy those who are waking up tomorrow morning saying, we could be loading the trailers tomorrow night.
Yeah,
so at least in my new line of work, that kind of drama is good, but I am so thankful I am not on pit lane because I would be wetting myself. Brother, thank you again for
thank you very much.
Sharing so much time and insight with us.
Awesome. My pleasure. Thank you.